I stop there with puzzles. One could go on and on. These are the kinds of intriguing little problems that the texts throw up for us as historians. But let's remember that these are historians' puzzles. They are not issues that ought to disturb or bother very much persons who turn to these texts for spiritual inspiration and not for historical detail. Our curiosities as historians may be different from those of other peoples. What can we say about Jesus' teachings? What did he teach? Well, we can talk a little about, for example, his technique. We have a lot of indications. One of the very interesting things that we find in the Gospels are presentations of Jesus as a teacher. He used parables, an old Jewish custom. When a Jew wanted to teach, he told stories. And this is something that Jesus did. Jesus regularly quotes the Hebrew Scriptures, and then he explains their meanings. He quotes a passage, he quotes an incident, he quotes a scene, and then he explains it. This is precisely what a rabbi would do. A rabbi was someone who taught what the Scriptures taught. He spoke in all kinds of places, before all kinds of people, all kinds of different groups. What seems striking here is not all of that. That's common enough. That's ordinary enough. But his particular familiarity with women. Again and again and again and again and again, the Gospels show Jesus in very close connections with women. All kinds of women. His mother, from his mother Mary to the harlot Mary Magdalene. On occasion, he appeared as a charismatic healer. Interesting case here. He let his actions speak for him. Now, Jesus himself and those who wrote about him, in other words, anchored him very much in the Jewish tradition. And this has become increasingly important to scholars trying to understand Jesus himself and his teaching. If we try to uncouple Yeshua ben Yosef from the Jewish tradition, we miss all hope of understanding him. He is anchored in, he is rooted in that tradition. He is, finally, after all, Jewish. Now, Jesus spoke constantly, and the gospel writers spoke constantly, of fulfilling prophecies, of fulfilling an older tradition, which again shows us Jesus attaching himself to this older tradition. He said he had come to fulfill, not to abolish the law. We're going to make it complete, not make it go away. When a Pharisee tried to trick him, very interesting. When a Pharisee tried to trick Jesus, he turned right around and quoted the law to him. Love God and love your neighbor. Now, we talked about that in a much earlier lecture when we talked about the Hebrews, the great teachings. Remember, we talked about the Decalogue. The first part is about loving God. The next part about loving your neighbor. We talked about the Shema. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one, and him alone shall you serve, and you shall love thy neighbor as thyself. We talked about Micah. This God asks of you. Walk humbly with your God and love justice. So Jesus anchored himself very much in that old tradition. The central elements of his teaching seem quite few and quite simple, actually. He had come to call people to repentance, to change their way of life, to acknowledge their failings, to acknowledge their shortcomings, to acknowledge all that had gone wrong in their own lives, in their own hearts. The kingdom of God was at hand, he said. A judgment would come. It would be a mighty judgment. It would be a final judgment. It would be a harsh, a stern, a severe judgment. One can lay great stress on the kindness, the gentleness, the warmth of Jesus, but he could be tough and uncompromising when the situation called for it. Now, what exactly was this kingdom of God? Well, that, for some 2,000 years, has been subject to some interpretation. Is it something that existed only in a transcendent world beyond us humans? Is it something that was going to be brought into being here in this world? It's very hard to say. It is much easier to say what, over a long period of time, the kingdom of God has been understood to be by Christians than to say absolutely clearly what the gospel writers thought it was or what they thought Jesus thought it was. It's very clear that Jesus subverted the world's ways. Love the poor, love the meek, love the hungry, love the suffering. Take up for the Samaritan. Hurl accusations only if you're totally pure. This was an ancient society who, after all, you know, had its great heroes like Achilles and so forth, like tough guys, it liked winners, you see? And here we're told to embrace the poor, the suffering, the outcast, the sick.